This Saturday from 10 till 2 at Sunken Gardens, 4th Street North here in St. Petersburg, is Plantapalooza 3. There will be a native plant swap, garden decor, themed lectures including salt-tolerant native plants by Amanda Streets, the importance of home landscapes in conservation by Craig Hugel, and Bay Area butterflies and the native plants they rely on by Brad Gregory. Chad Hardy from Plantapalooza stopped by the Florida Folk Show last week, and we talked about native plants, the wildlife corridor, and Plantapalooza 3. Have a listen. So we're going to give L.A. Moore a little bit of a break here, and I am very pleased to have Chad Hardy with us. Chad is the mover, shaker, and brains behind Plantapalooza 3, and we're going to chat a little bit about that and sort of the objectives, if you will, of Plantapalooza 3. So, Chad, thanks so much for stopping by.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So tell us a little of the backstory about Plantapalooza. How did this all start, and what was sort of the motivation for this?
4 years or so ago, I started a group on Nextdoor.com, a native plant group, and people asked me, do you have any events? Do you have something where we can all get together and meet each other? And I said, yes, absolutely. You know, let's go to the middle of the summer to Fort DeSoto and look for butterflies. And nobody wanted to show up. It was too hot for people. And I thought I had to reboot and think of something else. So I said, you know what? People want to get together when the weather is good. So I decided to have a plant festival at my house. First one was 2 years ago. And there were 20 people or so, one tent, a couple tables, and it was me walking around my yard, potting things up on the spot. That people say, ooh, what's that? And I said, here, this is tropical sage. Have some. And that was the first one. And realized pretty quickly that I outgrew my space. And the second Plantapalooza last year was at my friend Rebecca's house. And we evolved to have speakers and planned ahead of time, actually had plants available for people, and blew ourselves away at the success of the event. We didn't know how many people in St. Pete wanted to be a part of something like this. And so we, once again, were too successful for our humble beginnings and outgrew our spot. And Jennifer Tyson from Sunken Gardens reached out to me and said, hey, we'd like to have Plantapalooza 3 at Sunken Gardens. And I said, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so what it's going to be is the Community Wildlife Corridor, which I have started, is going to have 2,000 to 3,000 or so free native plant seedlings to give away. There are going to be speakers, including the famous Craig Hagel is going to give a speech about what we can do in our yards to increase habitat diversity. Amanda Streets from Living Roots Nursery is going to do a segment on landscaping for salt-tolerant plants, which just couldn't be more topical right now. A lot of people have just lost their whole landscapes and don't know where to proceed. And since we're going to have, unfortunately, and likely salt water in our yards again, it's time to reboot for the future, which is to plant plants that when that salt water comes through, they're going to live and they're going to persist in the landscape. And so she's going to do a talk about that. There's going to be, the city of St. Pete will be there giving away rain barrels, raffling them off, because there's a lot we can do to decrease the water that gets into the rain systems by gardening with deeply rooted native plants and just collecting the rainwater in barrels. So the city will be giving away, while supplies last, I think they said they have 4 rain barrels, and just a whole litany of local plant nurseries, including the famous Kenny Coogan's going to be there with his native and non-native carnivorous plants. Art and Stone Company is going to have native and non-native orchids available. So that's what we have going on.
That's awesome. Now, tell us why native plants in particular are important.
Because there are specialized relationships in wildlife between insects and plants. Most famously, most people know that monarch caterpillars can only eat milkweed. But these relationships exist throughout the animal kingdom, and they're best facilitated with native plants that evolve together with each other. So you can do a lot in your yard by planting just one or two native plants, the right plant in the right place, and you can very quickly, very successfully get wildlife to your yard with these plants. And people want to help, they want to get involved, but they don't know where to source these plants.
Yeah.
And so that's where the Community Wildlife Corridor came in, and we potted them up. We have them available to you. We have all the knowledge about when to plant, what time of year to plant, what plants to plant based on the conditions of your yard. And so people just come up to us and say, hey, Chad, I have a sunny front yard with no irrigation, but I'd like to have some bees and some butterflies. And we give them Tropical Sage, Bee Balm, host plants for butterflies, nectar plants for butterflies, and the instructions about how to plant them.
That's great. That's great. Now, tell us about the concept of the wildlife corridor. Tell us about that.
Okay. The community wildlife corridor is two corridors in one. First, on a literal level, it's a wildlife corridor that's going to connect our largest wildlife areas like Boyd Hill and Fort DeSoto with backyard native wildlife gardens. And it's a community corridor also that has these feel-good events that bring people together. Because even though we have the most communication right now we've ever had in society, people are isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to be with other people who feel the same as them. And this is a niche movement. You know, the native plant life movement is up and coming, but it's still small. And so this is a feel-good event where you can meet all the people here right in St. Pete that feel the same way as you do. They want birds, they want butterflies, they want a garden for wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a feel-good event where you get together and meet these people.
So is it as simple as that by having more people create these places where animals can go from one to the other? Is that facilitating the monarch butterfly's ability to get from A to B?
Absolutely. If you're a monarch butterfly and you live at Boyd Hill, you don't leave Boyd Hill because it's nothing but a concrete jungle as soon as you leave. And so those communities become isolated. And the more isolation you have, the less genetic diversity you have.
Yeah.
And so if you have a way station halfway between Boyd Hill and Fort DeSoto and you plant some milkweed in your backyard and you have some habitat and some host nectar plants for the butterflies, you can convince and you can have the monarchs in your yard. And now you have a corridor of different habitats between Fort DeSoto and Boyd Hill so that the monarchs that are in Boyd Hill can eventually go and breed with the monarchs in Fort DeSoto and increase our genetic diversity and make the animals healthier.
That's awesome. That's great. And when is all this excitement going to happen?
A week from today. This is going to be Saturday, January 11th. It is from 10 to 2 at Sunken Gardens. And we are expecting a big crowd, so get there early to get parking. We're encouraging people to carpool if you can, park in the neighborhood if you have to. There's going to be the police in the parking lot directing there, but get there early because we have been warned it is going to be mobbed.
Great. Well, I hope it is mobbed.
You know, Sunken Gardens is pretty rare. It's an urban, it's in the middle of a city, but yet once you're in there, you know, you could be anywhere. And how many places are there like Sunken Gardens that are in the middle of an urban, seriously urban area?
It's the only place I can think of like that. I mean, when you're in there, it's exactly like you said, you can't hear an airplane, you can't hear a car, you could be in the middle of the jungle for all you know because you're isolated. Yeah. It's down lower, so the acoustics are good down there.
Yeah. I think Sunken Gardens is just, it's a treasure. It's a treasure for St. Pete.
Absolutely.
It's a treasure for Florida. The fact that it exists is almost miraculous because it was in danger of being developed. There was talks of a nudist colony. There were all kinds of talks of crazy stuff that was going to happen there. And the good citizens of St. Pete actually voted to have a short-time increase in their taxes to fund the original development of Sunken Gardens as a St. Pete-owned place. And that's almost impossible to imagine that would happen in this day and age. So good on you, St. Pete, for creating that.
I mean, look at happened, I think, last weekend or this weekend is the last day for the Cypress Gardens.
Yeah, yeah.
The boat, the shows, and the acrobats and everything, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that Cypress Gardens is as old as Sunken Gardens. There's just not that many places left.
Yeah, and certainly Sunken Gardens has changed from a kind of Florida, a bit kitschy tourist attraction where there was alligator wrestling and beauty contests and, you know, that kind of stuff, to now this resource that is doing just what Chad has been talking about, and that is supporting the use of native plants, and there's a whole educational component there, talking about animals and wildlife and plants and all those kinds of things that that wouldn't have happened if Sunken Gardens was not saved, you know, back in the day.
Plantapalooza 3, this Saturday from 10 to 2 at beautiful Sunken Gardens, 4th Street North, right here in St. Petersburg.